Father, we honor you forever. You will be holy, our God, our Redeemer, Creator of the heavens and the earth and everything therein. There is not a thing that is without you. You alone art God, a good God. And we thank you, Lord, that as we stepped on this first day of the month called June, that we will celebrate your goodness in all the earth. Blessed be your holy name. Sanctify your people, O God, for your name's sake. And do in us and with us extraordinary things now, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our sovereign Lord. Thank you, Lord, for open doors. Thank you, Father, for open doors. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's good to see you all. I've been away for the last Sunday, and I covered three states, so three states are out, and we give God praise for his faithfulness and the demonstration of his power. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, worship team. The worship team will come back after I finish ministering the word, and we'll continue our praise and worship. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so very much. Well, this morning, I'm sure most of you do know already, a very dear, dear, darling daughter of the Most High God turned 95 in the presence of the Lord. We want to celebrate our dear sister, Sister Margaret Arseniuk. Praise the Lord. I can't believe she's gone home, but she was an extraordinary woman. Some of you didn't get to meet her because she stopped being here with us when COVID started. And she didn't come back. But we saw her a few weeks ago. And she started describing the church. She said, "I've been there." I said, "What do you mean you've been there?" She said, "The Lord took me there, and I saw the new church as it is." And she described it perfectly. I give God praise for her. This morning, her celebration of life is going to start at about 11 o'clock. I am going to finish the word of the Lord here, and then I'm going to take off down there. Mama is there right now, ministering to the family. Hallelujah. Well, let's get to the word of the Lord. We are not like those who do not know the Lord, who have reason to grieve. We have great reason to celebrate the goodness of God when one of us goes home to be with him. That doesn't happen too often here. I believe she's number three in all 40 years of ministering that has gone home. God likes keeping us here so we can do the work. Amen? Hallelujah. Come with me to the Gospel of John, the 15th chapter. John, the 15th chapter, beginning to read from verse 1. The Lord says, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. That word, aletheos, is a word so strong that it describes something that is unique, something that is unlike any other, something genuine, something that is not fictitious, something that is not a counterfeit, something that is not imaginary, something that is not pretentious. He says, I am the real deal. Amen. Hallelujah. I am the true vine. Now, when he says, I am the true vine, he's also saying that there are other vines and they are fake vines. He's not plastic. As good and as realistic as the plastic vine might look, it cannot produce fruit that you will eat. God, our Lord, says, I am the true vine. And then he says, not only am I the true vine, I have a Father who is the husbandman, the man who comes and takes care to make sure that everything is operating as it should. Praise God. Aren't you glad that God is a hands-on God? That God is hands-on, and because he's hands-on, that there's nothing in your life that is going to be out of place? That he is a God who has established you in his loving kindness and in his tender mercies? He says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. That's a powerful word. In essence, there's no way you should be in him and not be a fruit bearer. There is no way you should be in Christ and not be a fruit bearer. So he says, anyone, any branch that is in me, he didn't say outside of me, he said in me. And the only people that are in him are those who are born again. He says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. The word is the word ahero. And this is a powerful word because it doesn't just mean God just comes and takes it away. It also means that he elevates it. If it were rubbing on the ground, he elevates it. He gives it the opportunity, first and foremost, to bear fruit. He raises it up. He lifts it up. And if it will not, then he carries it away. He removes it. Because God is not a God who just comes and says, oh, you're doing wrong, and he smacks you out and throws you away. No, he will try to fix whatever needs to be fixed. He will always give you and I a second chance. Another chance. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad that God is that kind of a God? A God who will give you another chance, give you an opportunity, make sure that whatever the problem is, that he corrects it. In essence, therefore, if you don't bear fruit, it is not because God did not give you the capacity to bear fruit. It's because you elected by yourself not to do what God wants. Period. Please hear that. God is not a mean God. May I say that again? God is not a mean God. He is a loving God, a God who gives us opportunities, who makes sure that we are totally, fully resourced and made capable to do that which is His will. I thank God for that kind of a God. Hallelujah. He says, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth. Katahero. He removes a harrow. It's like, if how can I spell it? Okay, it's like spelling A-H-E-R-O. And in the English, that sounds like a hero. So, let me twist it this way. God sees a hero in every one of us and wants to bring that greatness out. Did you hear that? God is not in the business of beating you down and making you useless. In fact, He wants to do the reverse. He says He purgeth it. What does that mean? It means He cleanses it. Why do you need cleansing if you are okay? The idea is this. You are in me, but there are times when there's mess on you. And I come to clean you up so that you can produce fruit. Praise the Lord. So from that we can deduce this, that the one that is purged or cleansed and the one that did not bear fruit had certain things that were similar. They had problems. They had issues. There's not any one of us here that doesn't have some kind of an issue in one form or the other. But God comes and says, you've got an issue here. I need to deal with it so that you can do what I want you to do. And we let Him prune us, cut us back. We let Him purge us. We let Him purify us, cleanse us from the filth. Cut off from us all useless shoots. Sister Margaret said to me many years ago about our tomatoes plant that were flowering. He said, you have to cut off some of those flowers. Take them off so that you get bigger fruit. She was right. And sometimes God needs to take off some extra shoots at those areas in our life where we are branching out and nothing is going to happen. It's a waste. You don't need that part. He'll cut it off. He may cut off a particular relationship that's not going to be healthy for you. He just prunes it. Because you are going to be running around like a hamster, trying to please this person and please that person. Sometimes some people do some crazy stuff around you and walk away out of your life. Don't run after them. There might be somebody that God is pruning out of your life. The rich young ruler came to Jesus, says, what should I do to be saved? And Jesus, our Lord, told him exactly what he needed to do. The guy turns around and walks away. And do you know, Jesus, who loved so much, did not run after him. Waste of time. When God identifies shoots in your life that is cutting off, don't cry about it. Just celebrate the goodness of God and say, God, you have a plan, you have a purpose concerning my life, and that's why this is happening at this particular moment. I celebrate your goodness. You have something good in store for me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The word of God continues. It says, now ye... I love how the Lord talks. It says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Because God is a God of faith. He's a God of faith. He says to the Israelites, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and seek my face and pray, I will hear from heaven, and I said, and I will heal their land. And the next statement is this, now I hear you now. They've not started praying yet. He said, now I hear you. Because he's a God of faith. When God speaks, he believes what he said. He believes that when he says something to you, that you will do it. So God goes ahead and starts doing his part. But if you do not do your part, you will not arrive at the place where he's waiting for you with the finished product ready to go. He says, now you are clean. So, now that you are clean, abide in me. Oh, now we have the problem. Verse 1 says, watch what verse 1 says again. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And then verse 2 says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit. Oh, so we have the first key. The first key is the issue of abiding, staying, being steadfast in faith. God does not believe in visitings. People who just come visit. He wants you to come and stay. Hallelujah. He says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me. And then he says, and I in you. You stay in me and me in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, you cannot do it of yourself, except you abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. In a moment, we'll talk about the fruit that he is addressing. The fruit is not success, and includes that, but that's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about notoriety, influence and everything, greatness and all of that. It includes that, but that's not what he's talking about. But he tells us here something that is very crucial. He says, if you don't abide in me and I in you, you cannot bear the fruit that you need to bear. You cannot do it yourself, except you abide in the vine. That is in me, the true vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. You're not going to be able to do what I'm asking you to do if you do not abide in me. Please hear that. You can't do it, but I want you to do it. But you can do it if I'm not in you, doing it through you. Hello? This is the key. Lord, I came to worship you. What is worshiping God? I did teach you on that some time back, that worship is not us singing and playing and drumming and banging tambourines. It includes that, but that's not what worship is. Worship is obedience to God. I and the lad shall go up yonder, and we shall worship the Lord and come back. And that was an act of obedience. Hello? Do I need to do that teaching again? Obedience to the will of God, to the word of God, is your true worship. And he goes on, I am the vine. He keeps on saying it. In essence, he's saying to you and I am the real deal. He's saying to us, I am the boss here. You don't get to do whatever it is you want to do, any which way you want to do it. You do it because you're getting resourced from me. And you're getting resourced from me because you are attached to me. And I'm pulling the resources and I'm flowing it to you so that you can bear fruit. He that abided in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. He brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. He said it again. If a man abide not in me, if you don't stay with me, if you are not connected with me, that man is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. See, that's what's going to happen. You're going to get cut off, and men are going to gather you and throw you into the fire, and you're going to be burnt. Because you did not abide in me. Verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Now it explains that how he abides in us is by his words abiding in us. Do you hear the word of God? And you cast it away? Do you hear the word of God and you have lots of buts? I know that's what the word of God says, but. Well, you better get rid of that but, because that but will get you butted out. Praise the Lord. You now talk straight to you, right? Okay. If you don't like what I'm talking about, then you're in the wrong place. If you hear what I'm talking to you about, then you're in the right place. And you know for a fact that you're not going to be a castaway. Praise the Lord. You see, people think and they misplace mercy and grace. God is a very merciful God. That means that God ascribes to me what I don't deserve. But God also, who is merciful, gives me grace so that I can do the right thing that honors his name. And if grace is the enabling presence and power of God, then grace is you abiding in Jesus, the true vine. Hello? Because without him, you can do nothing. And without the grace of God, you can do nothing. Grace enables you. So people who tell you, you can just live any which way you want, they are lying to you and they are sending you to hell. Plain simple. oh, I'm just human. God is not talking about you just being human. He says, you abide in me. I know you are human. I know you can do it. You stay inside of me. I stay inside of you. And I'll give you the ability to be everything I want you to be. You cannot be what I want you to be without me. You cannot say I'm a Christian and not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Most believers have more relationship with the soap opera. I don't know all the names now, but I used to know there was some like Another World in those days, and Young and the Restless. Well, if that's what your true north is, the Another World will not be the world that Jesus is in. It will be the Another World of H-E double hockey sticks. Just simple as that. He said, Pastor, has come back again. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why you love me. Now, if the young and restless is your true north, you are going to live an old, restless life. It's a lie, young and restless. It's a lie. You've got to connect with Jesus. And you're not going to find Jesus with your friends doing the crazy things they are doing. Your professor is not going to give you Jesus. You need to connect with Jesus in a very personal way. My father is not going to do it for me. My mother is not going to do it for me. My brother is not going to do it for me. My sister is not going to do it for me. I got to have a personal relationship with the Lord God Almighty. That husband, that wife, that boyfriend, that girlfriend is not going to do it. You cannot serve God because of somebody else. You got to serve God because you're connected to God yourself. Hallelujah. If other people fall down into a pit, that does not mean you're going to fall down it. You got to have a relationship. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. You're not a forgetful hearer of the word. He says, ye shall ask. This is a promise. Ye shall ask what you will. This is powerful. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask for anything you want. Wow! What a promise! And it shall be done unto you. This is not about fasting and praying. It says, let my words abide in you. That's how you're going to get the answer. Then when you ask for anything, in fact, before you ask, I will answer. Because I find in you somebody that I find pleasure in. You are obedient to my directives. You're following my word. He says, herein is my Father glorified. This is how my Father is glorified, that ye bear much fruit. This is how my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Because my Father is glorified, you will be my disciples. This is how you become my disciple. You glorify God, my Father. Because you are bearing much fruit. This is what defines you as my disciple. He says, as a father, my father, as a father that loved me, so have I loved you. Now he's beginning to lead us in the direction of what this powerful fruit is. He says, as a father that loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. In essence, abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love. Okay, are you talking about the Ten Commandments, Lord? No. It includes that, but no. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. He says, I am abiding in the love of my Father because I keep His commandments. So if I'm going to abide in the Father's love, I must keep the commandment. But what is this commandment? But before he tells us that, he says, you want to know joy in your life? I tell you the key to it. He says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. That my joy might remain in you. That tells me that there's a possibility that his joy doesn't remain in me. He says, I don't just want my joy to remain in you. He says, I want it to be full in you. You mean in abiding in the Lord and abiding in obedience to His word, I'm going to have joy, 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 overflow? He said, yeah. Not only is it going to remain in you, he says, and that your joy might be full. Oh, wait a minute. My joy, your joy. So I got joy, and he's got joy. But what causes my joy to overflow is his joy coming into my joy. Oh, yeah. But what causes God to rejoice? What causes God to joy? Oh, souls, 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 souls coming to God. That causes God to joy. Guess what causes you to be in joy? When you are busy doing the works of God and winning souls and seeing lives changed, lives transformed, the hunger of all of our hearts must be about walking the works of God while it is yet day. For the night comes when no man can work. This is a time and a moment for us to connect with people and see lives transformed. I was at the airport yesterday, flying in. I think it was my last leg. And as I came to the lounge, I saw a woman on her phone and she was bawling. Just bawling. People have walked past her, I'm sure, and nobody paid any attention. I walked past and I looked back, made sure that she was really what I saw, and I went back to her. I put my hand on her shoulder. She's a white lady. I said, "Do you mind if I prayed for you?" Said no. So I prayed for her. I didn't ask her what her need was. I just prayed for her. And when I finished praying, she said, "Thank you for praying for me." It didn't cost me a thing. It didn't cost me anything. I don't say that to promote myself, but how many people do we see that are going through a particular situation and we leave them there stewing in their problem, and we did not go to them and just let them know God loves them? God loves you. I don't know what you're going through right now. It may look really dark this very moment, but there's a God who loves you. And he sent me to let you know you are loved. That is our expression of love. I don't know her. I will never meet her. I was somewhere in Asia, trying to remember what city it was now. Yeah, it was Dubai. And it was this lady. She'd gone on a cruise, missed her flight, and they would not let her fly. She's been there for 2 days. One of them was there for 3 days. They won't let her, these two ladies. So I helped one of the ladies. I talked and talked and finally got that one situated. She was going to fly. The other one, there was no way I could do anything. The Lord says, you got money, pay for the ticket. So I paid for the ticket. Thank God I had enough money to pay for the ticket. I paid for the ticket and on she went. I did not know. All of the workers in that airline have been in at least in that level. They've been calling each other. There's this crazy guy who's helping people here. And they sent special treatment to come pick me up. To take me to my gate. Which was far away. It didn't cost anything. Loving doesn't cost you too much. God gives you the grace, the ability to help. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, my time is quickly going off on me, but I'll wrap this up. We need to abide. It says this is the key to fruitfulness. The word of God abiding in us glorifies God and brings about our fruitfulness. He says to us, abide. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And in essence, what he's saying to us is that the fruitfulness that he's looking for is the fruitfulness of us loving each other. Just love. Now, I've said over and over, love is not going to cost you anything. The reality is that love costs you everything. It costs you your time. But it doesn't mean much because you are doing it in Him. Now He tells us what that commandment is. The commandment is loving people. Love one another. Greater love had no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So that's how you do it. Love. Love. Glory and peace. Love. Give yourself to help somebody else. Not because you're going to get something from them. The lady that I paid her ticket, she told me, she was alone. She said, I need your number. I said, you don't need my number. I said, I need your address. I said, you don't need it. He said, I need it. I said, okay, I'll give it to you. He He said, I'm going to send you back this money that you give to me. That's many years ago. I've not seen a dime of it. I don't care about it. I have not been broke because she did not pay me back. Hallelujah. See, it's a waste of time. If you give and give, if somebody says, I'm going to give it back to you, say, praise the Lord, you're going to give it back to me. But I'm not going to run you down and say, hey, where's my money? No, I'm not going to do that. It's on you. When you can, you will. If you can't now, okay, I pray for you so that you have the capacity and the ability to do what you said you're going to do. After all, God's word says we should pray one for the other. Is that not true? Yeah, but you know, God has not called me to be a collector. You owe me so much. No, forget that. You're my brother, you're my sister, you're my daughter, you're my son. You know, let's just continue on. He says, greater love had no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And verse 14 says, ye are my friends. That's what Jesus says. If you do whatsoever I command you, if you do what I tell you, you're my friend. In essence, if you're not my friend, you are my enemy. If you're not doing what I'm saying to you for you to do, which is to love, and that's a command I give to you, you're my enemy because you do not represent me. What comes out of me to the world is love, and that's what I want to flow out of you. He says, henceforth, I call you not servants. I'm no longer calling you servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. So I'm not calling you a servant, because service as a servant is limited. You know limited information. I'm calling you friends because I want to show you everything. Hallelujah. I want to show you everything because you love like me. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known to you. I'm going to make known to you what my Father is saying. And the Holy Spirit is going to make that known to you, because I'm going to show it to the Holy Spirit. You have chosen me, but I have chosen you. And I have ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Oh, what a powerful statement. He may give it you. Say, he may give it you. He may give it you is not the same as he may give it to you. In essence, God is saying, when you are obeying me, if you ask anything, if anybody's asking anything, I'm going to give them you, because you are going to be the answer. Oh my God, I'm going to make you the answer. This person has a problem. I'm going to make you the answer. Whether the answer is you speaking a word of faith, or you bringing money out of your pocket, or you laying hands on them and saying, be recovered of this ailment, I'm going to make you the answer. Amen. Jesus is the answer. But it says, he may give it you. Because God knows you represent him. And if he sends you, he will be properly represented. Hallelujah. What is this fruit? is the fruit of love. God wants you and I to be fruitful in love. So the Word of God says in Galatians chapter 5, it says, the fruit of the Spirit. And I want you to notice, he says, the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the, it didn't say the fruits. It says the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. And the manifestation of love, first thing is joy. Second thing is peace. Third thing is long suffering. Fourth thing is gentleness. Fifth thing is goodness. Sixth thing is faith. Seventh, meekness. Eighth, temperance. Against such, there is no law. So that's what I want to do. I want to manifest love in you. That's the fruit God wants from you and I. And it has eight tentacles. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 9. Ephesians 5 and verse 9. It says, for the fruit of the Spirit that we've already defined as love is in all what? Goodness, righteousness, and truth. The fruit of love is in every form of goodness, righteousness, and truth. And what does it do? Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. It proves it. And we have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. God calls you and I to fruitfulness. God calls you and I to demonstrating love. And he says, without me, you can't do it. Okay, I've decided I'm going to love everybody. No, you can't do it. So go to God and say, God, love through me. I'm in you. Love through me. And you'll find that it becomes easy to just love. Even the most unlovely people. And they're those people who will drive you up the wall and back down. And still, somehow, you just love them. Can we do that? Can we trust God to love through us? If you believe that you can, say amen. Praise the Lord. Well, rise with me. Pastor Paul is going to come and after the praise and worship, he's going to lead us into a time of communion together. But I'm going to pray with you now, and I'm going to encourage you to just come and give the expression of love. Amen. Hallelujah. Rather than Pastor Paul, I'm going to have Elder Andre come and help us with our communion time. I'm going to take off right after this to catch up with the service. Just raise your hand before the Lord. Say with me, Father, I receive your eternal word. I abide in your word, in your love, and you, O God, abide in me. Lord, make me fruitful. Make me, O God, what you want me to be. I surrender my life to you, O God. Cause me, O God, to operate in the authority of your everlasting name, even the name of Jesus Christ. Use my life to bring healing and deliverance to those, O God, that you have loved with an everlasting love. Connect me, O Father, with everyone you've called me to serve by the Spirit of your truth. I honor you today with my giving. Let it be an expression of my love for you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, I am healed, I am delivered, I am set free, I'm made every with whole. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.